listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
K-State Nation, what's happening? This is the reaction edition of the podcast here. Eddie Greer III, here with you guys, the host of the Purple Project Podcast, all about Kansas State Athletics. This podcast is about what's going on in Kansas State Athletics, Manhattan, Kansas. I'm, of course, live here in Manhattan, Kansas, doing another basically rapid reaction, not less than 24 hours from K-State's first loss of the year on the road at Stillwater. And my co-host had some good thoughts on here. I'm definitely gonna be interested to hear what he has to say later on this week as we get ready now for Oklahoma. Before I dive on into my reaction of this game down at Stillwater, the first Big 12 game of the year for the Cats, obviously the Purple Project Podcast, we have Daily Edition most of the time, usually anyways, and we always have a weekly edition of the podcast with my co-host Alex Aiden, the Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Play, working on that. Audio Boom, of course, Amazon Music, and maybe a few more out there as well. The Purple Project Podcast. We're about to hit the month of October, and this podcast actually will be out on Monday morning. So the reaction edition, I did not do one on Nevada last week. So these reaction episodes will be out on Monday mornings from here on out for the rest of the year. So I'm going to definitely put my best foot forward on getting these out the best that I can. All right, so now I did not do one for Nevada, or I don't think I did one for Southern Illinois either. Obviously, those were both wins. And the non-con, again, you know, the non-con, you know, Stanford and Nevada were good, are good teams. And K-State did what it needed to do on those teams. And, of course, Southern Illinois, feisty as they were, K-State somehow in the second half did not allow a point to them. And everybody thought, well, at least for the K-State standards anyways, that the Lynch Mob is back and whatnot. Well, this right here, this first half of this game, in Stillwater against the Oklahoma State Cowboys, I don't know what it is with K-State not playing up to standards against Oklahoma State. Well, they certainly didn't play up to standards in the first half of the game, especially defensively. We'll get into that in the second portion of the podcast. But I'm going to start on the offensive side of the ball. And again, I refer back to what Herm Edwards said on the podcast. On one of the podcasts I listened to, he said that if you do not have a quarterback, a talented quarterback, whether it's college or NFL, you probably go far back as high school. The football field's going to feel like 150 yards, then 100. Well, right now, that equation relates to the K-State offense right now. Obviously, Skyler went down again in the second game of the year. It's Southern Illinois, right? So now you bring in Will Howard. I mean, he's had a couple of bright spots already this year. Of course, last week against Nevada, he had that big touchdown run pass to Dan Imadebebe, who was not with the team last night down at Stillwater, apparently with an injury. Somehow we missed that. I mean, I did not know about that until the ESPN broadcast mentioned that, and I did not see anything on Twitter about that from any of the K-State media's guys, anything like that. So that was quite a surprise there on that, and they could have used them, and really, Jared Lewis could probably use them in this one. Other than the Deuce Vaughn big play for a touchdown in the third quarter that really put K-State back in the game, K-State had no answer for this tough, rugged Oklahoma State defense. I mean, me and Alex said it in the previous episode of the Triple P podcast. Again, if you have not listened to that, I would advise you to go listen to that first before listening to this reaction edition of Triple P. But K-State had nothing, had no answer whatsoever. And then to make it worse, in the first half of the game, get blitzed right out of the gate. And Will Howard, well, a sequence after, of course, yes, Malik Knowles had to go back to him real quick. Malik Knowles had a kickoff return for a touchdown in this one, 99 yards to the house. That's the second kickoff return for a touchdown that I have seen this weekend. Obviously, I called one for the Rock Creek game on Friday night, which Rock Creek destroyed Hiawatha in their game to move up to 2-2 on their year. And so, but yeah, 99 yards for Malik Knowles, which gave K-State the lead at 10-7, and K-State never saw the lead again. After that, it was their only offensively touchdown pass, or touchdown of the game, Deuce Vaughn, 55 yards from Jaren Lewis, which I don't know how Jaren Lewis was able to get that ball out. Still, even on Sunday morning at, what, 7, as I'm recording this reaction edition at 7:30 in the morning, on Sunday morning on a nice fall morning here in Manhattan, Kansas, I still don't know how he managed to do that whatsoever. So, other than that big play, they had nothing else going for them in this one. And it's just, yeah, and yes, Oklahoma is coming up this week. And Oklahoma's going to be licking their chops. Obviously, they have their own issues right now. Obviously, I have the Big 12 roundup here to cap off the podcast here later on. But K-State right now, they got to figure it out. I mean, Will Howard got hurt in this game. I don't know how, but he got hurt in this game. And then somehow he came back in the third quarter. And it also, with the play calling's irritating. Once again, three runs up the middle with Deuce Vaughn. Yeah, I quit doing that. I tweeted out at one point that, you know, Jaren Lewis has got to stop handing the ball off. You got to try to at least use it. Now, I don't know at what he is as a runner, but I tweeted out, I mean, you got to use him at some point, not just hand the ball off to Deuce Vaughn or Jorv in the backfield at some point. I mean, even a five-year-old can probably manage an offense better than what we're seeing right here. And I'm sorry, I'm brutally honest with that, but you can't expect to be that conservative and win Big 12 football games. You just can't do it. And it does not help. This is your third string quarterback now, apparently, and this is going to be stay tuned news. And they've been, for what it is, Chris Klieman has been obviously been limited or whatever he's doing to Offer Smith, head coach for the Atlanta Falcons. This is the second time that I referred to him in the K-State podcast this week, but it is true. I mean, I don't know, he's been uptight about injuries. I mean, Skyle Thompson's, we don't even know the timetable when Skyle Thompson's going to be back. Obviously, my wife was talking about it. I mean, we hopefully Skyle Thompson will be back next week. It's not going to happen. They don't even have a timetable for him right now. You know, we said he's going to be back this year, but when? We don't even have a set timetable for that. Will Howard got hurt last week, or not last week, last night in the game. So now you bring in Jaren Lewis, making ill-advised decisions, late decisions with the football. I mean, yes, this is his first action. I mean, he did not really do much last week against Nevada other than hand the ball off. So at some point, you got to turn him loose at some point, whether it's legs or his arm. And obviously, he threw a pick in this game. Could have had multiple picks in this game. But he got away with a few more in this game. But obviously, Oklahoma State came out and absolutely blitzed them in the first half of this game. It does not help when your offense cannot sustain drives, can't run the football. You have a veteran offensive line, and they just got destroyed up front. Chris Klieman said it in his press conference that, you know, we lost the game in the line of scrimmage, and that's a true statement to that. Again, I go as far as back as the Stanford game the first time before the season started. Well, you know, this offensive line is going to dictate the tempo of the of season in that game in the year. You have a veteran offensive line. You have the big bodies up front. Why are we not moving people off the ball? I have no idea what we're doing up front. And whoever is back in the back, whoever is under center, that's not comfortable. That's not comforting to know. Oklahoma coming to the Bill next week, a highly anticipated game. And we all know Chris Kwame's record against Oklahoma up until this point. But I, at this point in mind, I have no idea what to expect. It could go either way on both sides. It could be a blowout next weekend, or K-State can put their big boy pants on and go toe-to-toe with Oklahoma, what we have seen in the past two seasons. But this performance here against Oklahoma State, I just don't understand. Oklahoma State is a much more winnable game than Oklahoma when you look at it on paper, or at least anyways, theoretically. But offensively, this has to be a D-minus at best. And that's maybe nice. That might be nicely for for K-State offensively, because you can't just hand the ball to Deuce Vaughn. Again, going back to last year, Deuce Vaughn isn't the whole entire offense. There's other people out there. We know Deuce Vaughn cannot carry the load. We keep saying it over and over again. And the defense, or Oklahoma State's defense, stifled Deuce Vaughn in this one. So there just has to be a different time. There's going to have to be Courtney Messingham's got to do something different. I mean, you can't just expect to run the ball three times and beat Oklahoma. You can't expect to run the ball, get the ball, do small all the time, and expect to beat Iowa State. You can't do it. You can't do it. Yeah, again, we'll have the Big 12 score roundup before the end of this podcast. Over, Iowa State got upset by Baylor. Oklahoma got taken to the limit against West Virginia. And K-State didn't do much of anything against Oklahoma State. Yeah, their defense played well in the second half. Again, I'll get to that momentarily. But this offense here has a lot, at least a quarterback, got a lot of question marks right now. On the offensive side of the ball, total yards, 260. OSU nearly doubled that. This is not going to cut it. 260 pass yards, 198 rush yards, under 162 rushing yards, 4 penalties for 41 yards, 13 first downs, only 2 of 12 on third down. That's not going to cut it, especially on the road in a Big 12 game like that. You have fourth down there, or at least one of two there. Time of possession, Oklahoma State killed them on that part as well. A couple of Tate and Winkle field goals there. And it was, I believe it was 31. Let's see, I want to be right. Yeah, 31-13 at halftime there with a big first half. And that which propelled Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State off to a good start. And that's all what it took for them to win the game. So, I mean, hey, you don't have to learn the hard way. And for the past 2 years, Chris Klieman and company, they have really struggled on the road in these games. Yeah, we beat TCU last year, but it does not help when you don't have your starting quarterback. No excuse, though. But, I mean, you got to look at that chance, saying, you know, what could have been, right? So, but this offense, they're going to have to find other ways to move the ball, or we're going to be in trouble. That's just the way it is with this team. Will Howard, only 4-12, and had that costly. And again, I want to go back, revert back to kind of a key play in the game, in this game, which came very early, where Malik Knowles tried to do too much with a kickoff return, with the next kickoff return, I believe, did not get out of his own end zone. And all of a sudden, you have backfield position there, and then Will Howard fumbles a good snap from Noah Johnson. It gets put it down in the end zone. Will Howard can't get on top of it. Oklahoma State's defense gets on top of it. Touchdown. And that we see is kind of really the keys of the game. That's the key play of the game. Will Howard only 4-12 for 50 yards in this game. Very was inaccurate in this game. Along with, 28 yards on 3 carries for Will Howard in this one. And he apparently got injured in this one as well. So the quarterback issues continue for K-State from last year into this year as well. Jaren Lewis, like I said, he was pretty late with this decision-making. And it goes back to what I was saying early on in this podcast. If you're going to have somebody else in here, Notre Dame quarterback last week, and they lost Khan, their starting quarterback, to a lower leg injury in the game against Wisconsin yesterday, right? So they bring on their backup quarterback, and Brian Kelly lets him just sling the ball around. And that was the difference of the game. And the backup quarterback, sorry, I can't think of his name right now, but the backup quarterback was out there slinging the ball around and making big play. And his receivers were making big plays out of it. And that was the difference of the ball game. And here, going back to last week, the Nevada game, Jaren Lewis, all he was doing was handing the ball off to Deuce Vaughn or Joel Urban. That's what was all he was doing. And didn't really prepare him. Now, I think he did throw a pass or two in the game in Nevada last week, but he didn't do much but just hand the ball off most of the time. But then you turn the page to last night is Oklahoma State on the road, and Jaren Lewis at multiple times rushed out of pocket and making late decisions with the football. Should have been picked off more than once in the game, but had that acrobatic decency to get rid of the ball to Deuce Vaughn on that great running catch by Deuce there, 55-yarder there. It was the only touchdown offensive for this game there. Obviously, we're a long way from Saturday. Obviously, a huge game in the Big 12 for K-State. But, you know, they don't tie up their quarterback issues here. It's going to be another long conference season for K-State. I mean, Will Howard wasn't that good, that great. Jaren Lewis, he might be a work in progress. The jury's still out on him a little bit, but, you know, hey, it is what it is there on that front. Deuce Vaughn shut down. He had a streak of 5 consecutive games, over 100 yards. That came to end last night. Only 22 yards on 13 carries. Not a very good ratio. And what happened to Joe Irvin? Speaking of which, Joe Irvin, he was not a factor. Only a carry, 5 yards in a game. So what happened to the 1-2 punch there last night? I don't know. Obviously, Joe Irvin did not get enough carries in this one. Keenan Garber had a carry, a little toss sweep for 4 yards. Jaren Lewis, along with his 100-plus yard performance through the year, he had 5 carries for 5 carries for only 3 yards, because some of that was on sacks there. And Malik Knowles, a carry, no yards. Phillip Brooks, a carry, no yards. Christian Duffy had a fumble recovery there. Receiving yards, Deuce Vaughn leading the receivers. Going right back to last year, 73 yards. Actually, yeah, 73 yards on 5 catches in the game last night. Leading receiver for K-State, Malik Knowles, only 3 catches for 26 yards. Phillip Brooks, 2 catches for 40. Cade Warner, a catch for 21. Sammy Wheeler had a catch for 18. Landry Weber, also a catch with 11 yards. Tyron Howell had a catch for 9 yards in that game. And probably the most positive spin is special teams. We'll get to that again after the defensive talk. But yeah, offense, D-minus here, struggled. And it doesn't, again, Skylar Thompson was there last night, but obviously with only the jersey on, no shoulder pads or helmet. So that everybody keeps talking about when Skylar going to come back, but we don't have a timetable for that. Until then, the quarterback position, that football field that I keep mentioning, it's going to be long. It's going to be long for K-State until they get that situated there. So, I mean, yeah, we have Jake Ruling back there, but reports were he wasn't ready to play, step on the field. So, you might want to keep him on the sideline and learn from here on out. So we don't know what the situation is with Will Howard. Obviously, it's Sunday, so when this podcast comes out, we might know more tomorrow. So we'll see about that. But basically, I don't know what that was last night, but they did not control the tempo. Oklahoma State did, and it showed offensively there. We did not see, obviously, it doesn't hurt. It hurts when you don't have Dale Imadebebe out on that field either. So, a lot of question marks after this game. A lot of it referring back to last year there. Start hot, and then all of a sudden you hit a brick wall, and you don't know how to play football. So, K-State's got a lot of work to do here if they're going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Oklahoma for a third straight season.
Number one. From the number one college town in the Big 12, we're back with the Purple Project Podcast with Eddie Greer.
The Reaction Podcast is back. Eddie Greer here. Talking about last night's game there, K-State drops the Big 12 opener to Oklahoma State 31-20 in Stillwater last night in a lackluster performance last night. Obviously, the defense now gets them. This defense, I don't know what's going on. A tale of two halves for the K-State defense. K-State defense was not ready to play in this game. Oklahoma State jumped them from the gun of this game, literally. Spencer Sanders did whatever he wanted to do with the football compared to last year, where Spencer Sanders absolutely struggled here in Manhattan, Kansas. Flip the script. The last night, Spencer Sanders felt too comfortable. It was too easy. Too easy moving a football against this, lynch mob defense. Well, we weren't no lynch mob defense last night. Maybe in the second half we were, but in the first half, that wasn't K-State defense, that's for sure. Giving up big plays, letting Oklahoma State do whatever they wanted offensively there. Spencer Sanders got the scoring started for them. A 2-yard run there for them. And then, of course, Spencer Sanders threw the touchdown pass after responding to the Malik Knowles 99-yard touchdown run there. And then Malcolm Rodriguez with the fumble recovery, obviously, I have to refer to the offensive mistake, which kind of was the key turning point in this game, which was the difference. That fumble recovery in the end zone, which related to the penalties mistake by Malik Knowles, taking the ball out 5 yards deep in your own end zone. You're a veteran, Malik. You can't do that. But you did in that moment, and it cost you. Tay Martin had a big game last night for Oklahoma State as well. So, yeah, Oklahoma State did whatever they wanted to do, especially in the first half of the game, which included another Daniel Green ejection, second one of the year for a targeting call, which I don't know what targeting call is anymore. I really don't. That one last night was not, because Spencer Sanders, he lowered his head and shoulder. Daniel Green was shoulders up, shoulder level on Spencer Sanders with a perfect form tackle on him. It seemed like his head hit his shoulder pads. His head did not hit the helmet of Spencer Sanders. I just don't understand what is going on with this call. And they need to reevaluate. I think it's time to maybe after the season's over. And it seems like we've been talking about this for the last 7 years since all levels of football has reinstated the targeting call. But absolutely, that was not a targeting call. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. That's just my thoughts there. I don't know what's your thoughts on that, K-State Nation, on that. But that was not a targeting call. That's very unfortunate, because now Dan Green sits out another half of football this year against Oklahoma when you need him on the football field. Big loss for K-State for the second time this year in 4 games. Dan Green gets ejected for targeting. I don't know if the first one was targeting either. I think I talked about that in the first reaction of the season there after we creamed Stanford. that was a little questionable too on that front there. But then this one here, for sure, that was no targeting
on that call. And then you go back to a late call in the second half of the game there. OSU is driving and Spencer Sanders hits a wide receiver. I can't think of his toe, hits the line, sideline there, and we call it a catch. Come on, man. That was not a catch right there. That's easily out of bounds right there. You got the replay right there in front of you, and the refs were 0-2 last night. Of course, Big 12 play, when you're on the road, as hard as it is, it's already hard enough. When you're down, it's hard enough already as it is to get those type of calls, and we did not get the calls that were needed last night in the game. That Oklahoma State started out fast and just held position, just like track or running a marathon. You want to start off fast. If you can maintain that, you got a chance to run a good time or maybe win the thing. Relates to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State started, hit the track running, and just like that, you know, they held their own. It held serve. Kansas State had multiple opportunities to really cut the deficit offensively, and it couldn't do it. The K-State defense turned around a tale of two halves. K-State really turned it around in the second half of the game. I believe they did not allow K-State. I don't think they allowed Oklahoma. As I look back up here real quick, I want to make sure. Yeah. I don't know where was his intensity in the first half. I really don't. Because they ended up shutting out Oklahoma State in the second half. No points allowed by the Cowboys, by K-State against that OSU offense in the second half of the game. And this is without Daniel Green. So kudos to Joe Klineman and the defensive coaches for making the right adjustments there on Spencer Sanders and company there. And at least to give K-State an opportunity to make this game even more interesting. But with no good quarterback under center, that's not going to happen. So, and especially you go down 21-10. It's not going to happen. It's very hard to come back with no quarterback in it since it's there. So, you know, K-State outscored OSU in the second half, 7-0. Had multiple opportunities to even cut the lead even more. Couldn't do it. Total yards for Oklahoma State, 481 yards. Passing yards, 344. Rushing yards, 137. And for the Cowboys, they had 8 penalties for 79 yards. Pretty much over 50% on third down, and they own time of possession. That's a problem for K-State. You can't get yourself off the field. Spencer Sanders had only six rushing yards, but he tore up K-State through the air, 22-34 for 344 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was sacked in the game. Only once though, but Tay Martin, receiver, carved up the K-State secondary over 100 yards, well, exactly 100 yards, with 9 catches in the game. Jaylen Warren, 81 for 4 catches for 81 yards. Rashad Owens, 3 catches for 49. That was some of the leaders for Oklahoma State on the receiving front as well. So the leading tackler for K-State tonight in this one, Nick Allen, the replacement for Daniel Green there. Kudos to Nick Allen there. 10 tackles. He and Cody Fletcher both have 10 tackles. T.J. Smith was, again, in and out with injury. Came back on the field a little later. Had 7 tackles in this one. Felix Anduke also had 7 as well. Julius Prince had 6, and Ryan Hennington, who got some couple shout outs last night on the broadcast, had 4. But yeah, Nick Allen, expect him and Ryan Hennington to be on the field to begin the Oklahoma game next week with no Dan Green on the field. So, I mean, good job by Nick Allen there in backup duty to come in here and to rack up the stat sheet and to get 10 tackles. He had 7 of those were solo tackles as well. But K-State's got to find a way to be more consistent. I mean, that's frustrating when you shut out your opponent there and say that, but you start off slow. And they're going to have to find a way to start off fast defensively if they're going to have an opportunity to beat the Sooners next week at home again. And this game, I know it's early, but we already said the gauntlet of the Big 12 already. Oklahoma State's in the books now. You have to look forward now to Oklahoma with their offensive issues, especially with Spencer Rattler at quarterback. More on that in a minute. But Iowa State's coming here as well. They're coming out being upset as well. So, you know, but it's really hard when you put yourself in a hole and you can't dig yourself out of the hole. So they're going to have to work on that. And hopefully for K-State fans, that this defense, that what we saw in the second half last night, what we've seen pretty much all year long up until the first half last night, that was the worst K-State's played on defense all year. Coming into this game, I mean, they were pretty solid on the defensive side of the ball. But the first half, Oklahoma State just played pitch and catch and just did whatever they wanted to do on the offensive side of the ball. And K-State had no answer in the first half. Last night in this game, it cost them. Cost them the game. And I'll actually give K-State a solid C here on the defensive side of the ball here. It could have been much worse if Oklahoma State were to do the same thing in the second half. But K-State bowled up. And Jerron McPherson, I mean, yeah, I didn't announce his name there on the stat sheet, but Jerron McPherson was just all over the field last night for the KS State Wildcats. So, you know, we'll see. They need to carry this momentum, at least on defensively, against Oklahoma, because I think Oklahoma's offense has been inconsistent at times this year. And K-State's gonna have to slow them down. I mean, it's still Oklahoma. It's still their type of offense there for them. If they come out like they did in the first half of that game, they're gonna get run out. We're gonna get run out of our own building. That's for sure. And yes, I will be going to the game. So I believe that's closer to a sellout. So a lot of anticipation for this game, Oklahoma game, and a lot. And this defense, they're gonna have to come out. And obviously, no Khalid Duke. Out for the rest of the year, and no Matt Lack. I didn't hear his name called last night. Let's see what I want to say. Timmy Horn wasn't really a factor in this one. Bronson Massey wasn't a factor. Eli Huggins, he wasn't a factor either. We saw a lot of Jalen Pickle up front as well. So that defensive line gonna have to do better than what they did last night if they're gonna have any impact on the season. They're gonna have, I mean, Chris Kleiman again, circle back to the top of the podcast here to hear today that I mean, you get beat up front. I mean, you're gonna lose the game, and that's exactly what happened. So, but I give K-State a C, solid C on that front for them, and they're gonna have to find a way. Nick Allen, Ryan Hennington, and company. They have to find a way to hold down the fort until Daniel Green returns on the field for the second half of the Oklahoma game next week. This is the Purple Project Podcast reaction edition to last night's conference opening loss and Stillwater against the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And K-State was ranked. They're going to be ranked no more, obviously, after last night when the rankings come out. Which will be at the recording of this podcast. It will be already, the podcast episode will come out tomorrow morning. The ranking is supposed to come out today as I'm recording it on Sunday morning. And yeah, we're expected to drop out of there. And so I don't know what it is about being ranked and being on the road, but every time we're ranked and on the road, it's a bad recipe for a bad performance. And we saw a little bit of both last night. Special teams, I gotta give a B minus there. Obviously, the decision to come out of your own end zone by Malik Knowles, it has an effect on that. But Ty Zittner did a tremendous job last night, pinning Oklahoma State deep, especially in the second half of the game. As I mentioned, Tayton Winkle connected on two field goals as well. So pretty solid all around for the special teams there, and getting another kickoff return for a touchdown. That's always awesome. It seems like Knowles take one to the house there. So, B minus on that front. Yeah, we got Oklahoma next week as we're about to close out this reaction edition of the podcast. Eddie Greer, host of the Purple Project Podcast, where this is all about Kansas State athletics. Looking at the Big 12 scoreboard here and to next week's opponent, Oklahoma, fourth ranked in the country. Yeah, they escaped a field goal at the buzzer to knock out West Virginia 16-13. Spencer Rattler, 26 of 36 for 256 and a touchdown there on that. So, and the fans chanted they wanted somebody else. So, things are turning up the heat in Norman there. And we've, or either I or myself or Alex said it, it's going to be Spencer Rattler's first road game of the year. It's going to come right here in Manhattan. And I'm pretty sure I'm looking forward to the atmosphere next weekend when Oklahoma comes to town. I really am. And so, I mean, this is 2:30 game Central Time on Fox. It's going to be interesting to see what happens again. The defense without no, or we already don't have no Khalid Duke, and we're not going to have Deion Green for the first half of the game. So, Oklahoma stays undefeated at the buzzer there. Letty Brown had 15 carries for only 56 yards. Bryce Ford Wheaton for West Virginia had 8 catches for 93 yards in the game, but West Virginia falls at the buzzer at Norman. 14th ranked Iowa State. And we were spot on. Me and Alex were spot on. We thought this game was intriguing, and it sure was. Baylor, they look really good. Baylor upsets Iowa State 31-29. Brock Purdy threw for 263 in this one. Breece Hall saw the end zone two times. Chase Allen for Iowa State had 7 catches for 98 yards in the game. But Baylor looked really good, and they got key turnovers at the right time, especially when Iowa State went down there and to score late in the game, and Baylor's 2-point defense stood up tall there, and then we got the onside kick there. Baylor, who would have saw this coming? Baylor 4-0, 2-0 in the Big 12, and yeah, you can stick a fork in Iowa State's playoff chances. Stop talking about the playoffs when it comes to them. Iowa State 2-2 now, and remember they lost to Iowa earlier this year, 31-29. Iowa State drops to 2-2 overall, and of course 0-1 in Big 12 play. So there was a lot of playoff expectations and aims. That's not going to happen for them on that front there. TCU gets upset by SMU yesterday, 42-34. They're in this one. Wow, what a stunner down there in Fort Worth, Texas, down there. Max Duggan, 3 for 3 touchdowns, 276 there in the game there. But Edesilis Bentley had a big game on that TCU defense, 20 carries for 153 yards and a touchdown there. And Danny Gray went bonkers for SMU. The Mustangs, 4 catches, 130 yards and a touchdown there. And TCU falls to 2-1. SMU stays undefeated at 4-0 there. Texas drops a 70 bomb on Texas Tech, 70-35. And this was the first time Texas has dropped that number. You got to go back to, I believe, 05 or 06 when the Longhorns did drop that same number on Colorado in the Big 12 championship game there. Henry Columbia for Texas Tech, 3 for 300 yards, 3 touchdown passes. Obviously was definitely not enough there. Rashawn Robinson, 18 carries, 137 yards. And for Texas, Xavier Worthy, 100 yard receiving on 5 catches, 3 touchdowns there in the game for the Longhorns. Longhorns 3-1 now. They are 1-0 in Big 12 play. Texas Tech falls to 3-1. They're 0-1 in Big 12 play as well. That Steve Sarkisian's offense was moving and grooving there yesterday, and they dropped 70 at home there, and they were off and running against the Red Raiders there. And finally, last but not least, obviously here, KU. They were in the game against Duke at halftime. I believe it was, they were leading at halftime actually, 24-21 in this game. And then Duke came out in the third quarter and put it on KU. Dropped 21 in the third quarter, which led Duke to a 52-33 win for Duke in this one. All Duke. Gunnar Holmberg, 22-29, 328 yards and a touchdown. Mateo Durant, 21 carries for 124 yards and a touchdown. And for Kansas, Trevor Wilson, 5 catches for 122 yards. So a good game for Wilson, at least for a KU standards there. But for KU, there at least they were competitive in this one. But you still lose in this one as Kansas now drops to 1-3 on the year, 0-2 away. And then Duke moves to 3-1 on the season there. That's kind of your Big 12 roundup for the week of Big 12 action. Critical week next week for Kansas, or I should say Kansas State, I should say, against Oklahoma when Oklahoma comes to the Little Apple. So that's kind of what the week in shell here. But 31-20 last night, K-State falls to Oklahoma State. K-State was ranked 25th. This week, they're not going to be ranked, obviously. So, heading into the big matchup here with Oklahoma next week, and there's going to be a lot of questions with the quarterback position yet again. It's pretty much carried over since last year when Skyler went down after the Texas Tech game, or during the Texas Tech game. So, definitely, it's going to be interesting to see. What happened? What's the status on Will Howard for this Oklahoma game coming up and Jaren Lewis? And so we'll see what happens for sure there. But K-State loses their first game of the 2021 campaign, falling to Oklahoma State 31-20 on the road down in Stillwater. K-State 0-1 in Big 12 play after going undefeated in the non-con schedule. The Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audioboom, and more. The Big 12 play continues next week when K-State welcomes back Oklahoma to Manhattan. K-State has beaten. We'll have a lot more talk on Oklahoma this week on the podcast. K-State has knocked off Oklahoma 2 times in a row, and going for a third straight is going to be a daunting task, especially if we don't have Will Howard for this game. I don't know what his total status is on that, or if you get consistent play from Jaren Lewis as well. But we'll have to see about that. And defensively, if they can carry that momentum, like they did against Oklahoma State in the second half of this game last night, they have a chance to keep K-State in this game. K-State will have a great chance here to upset Oklahoma for a third straight year, but it's going to be a tall, tall order, especially with Lincoln and Riley and those guys licking their chops. So they definitely are going to have K-State's attention this week. But K-State, though, loses after getting blitzed out of the gate early. They somehow held steady for the rest of the game, but their offense is going to have to find a way to be muster up something. They're going to have to do something. That's all I got to say. We're going to have to save some of the good stuff for this week. Eddie Greer, that's a wrap for another edition of the Reaction Show podcast tonight. Appreciate you guys for downloading the podcast. And subscribing, you're not a subscriber, please subscribe to the Purple Project Podcast. Go Cats. I'm going to leave it, put a pin on it for now. Next week, Oklahoma comes to Manhattan. But for now, K-State loses to Oklahoma State 31-20 in Stillwater.
Thanks for listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audioboom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.